Hare Krishna. So today we have gathered here for a memorable memorial service for Grace Yamuna Mataji, one of the senior most disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who passed away from this world on 20th December 2011. The whole evening, afternoon is dedicated for the memorial service. We have some speakers who have been already pre-assigned. So, in case there are some who wanted to speak, whose names may not be here, we are sorry because there was no way to reach out and find out who had some special stories about this great personality. So, to begin with, may I ask Srinathji Prabhu to make his offerings, as well as I believe he has Giriraj Maharaj's offerings also.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Govindam Prayas.
So we will actually start by having the Govindam prayers, the greeting of the deities prayers, which actually has, all of you know, been sung by Yamuna Mataji, which is sung in every single temple. So we'll sing that first together and then we'll start with the proceedings.
Govinda,
So before Srinathji Prabhu begins, I ask Madhavanand Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. With permission of Radhanath Maharaj, I have with me Giriraj Maharaj's offering made on 26th of December this year. In 1971, Srila Prabhupada went to Allahabad for the Ardha Kumbh Mela. And Yamuna Devi and I, that is Giriraj Maharaj, were in the party that accompanied him. Srila Prabhupada spoke on the story of Ajamil and the holy name from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Only the first two cantos had been translated and published. So Prabhupada read from his Sanskrit Bhagavatam with commentaries, sometimes translating from Sridhar Swami's and occasionally from Jiva Goswami's. While there I heard that Srila Prabhupada had said that he was speaking for Yamuna. And in April 2007, when Yamuna Devi Mataji visited me in Santa Barbara, I, that is Giriraj Maharaj, asked her about it, and she told me something that is etched an indelible impression on my heart. As she explained, she had always thought that she had as much right as anyone to walk or sit close to Srila Prabhupada. And generally, when he spoke, she would sit right in front of the Vyasasana. But in Allahabad, one of the sannyasis explained to her that in India, the women sat apart and that she should too. So the next morning, she did not sit in her usual place at Srila Prabhupada's feet. Later that morning, Srila Prabhupada noticed her passing by his tent and he called, "Yamuna, come here please." She entered and offered her obeisances, and before she got up, he said, "So, you don't want to hear me anymore?" Yamuna burst into tears. Prabhupada, hearing from him, was her life. "Where were you this morning?" he asked. And Yamuna told exactly what had happened. Prabhupada was silent. That, as she told me, was a turning point in her life. She realized that she would not be always having Prabhupada's company. Until then, she had not been able to conceive of ever being separated from him. In 1967, Prabhupada had a stroke and the devotees had chanted all night and Prabhupada had recovered. The devotees were so dependent on him for everything, it was inconceivable to them that he would not be with them. So she told me, "Every disciple must come to a personal realization that there will be a time when the spiritual master will not be present." And for her, that moment came in Allahabad, after her talks with the sannyasi and then with Prabhupada. Sitting in Prabhupada's tent, she asked him, "How much time did you actually spend with your Guru Maharaj?" "Very few occasions, maybe 5 or 6, he replied. "But then, there were very intimate moments. We used to walk and talk so many things that," he said, "those who think that association with the spiritual master is physical, they are no better than a mosquito sitting on the laps of a king. And what is the business of a mosquito? Simply to suck blood. So many of my godbrothers, they are big, big sannyasis, and they thought like that, and they simply suck blood." Yamuna took Prabhupada's words as confirmation. From that point on, she understood that she needed to explore her relationship with him and services to him in separation. She began to consider the question of Vani and of Apu. So it's a long offering, but I just summarize my own realization in one sentence. When Mataji stayed at our house with Dina Mataji, she was like an angel who had come, because she made us feel home in our own home. Not only she was at home with us, But she made us feel very much at home. This morning when Anil Agarwal was here, that is Aniruddha Prabhu, he said the same words. And she stayed in London at his house. Initially for a few hours they were wondering what she will eat, how they have to behave, what she would do. But after a few hours, they felt more at home with her than she felt at their house. So she was more like a mother and a sister to all of us. Hare Krishna.
May I ask Anand Gopi Mataji to be ready after Madhavan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So it's a very wonderful way to begin the new year by talking about Yamuna Mataji. Very wonderful, very auspicious. I remember when I went to the temple first time, ISKCON Juhu, 1984. I met several people. 5 o'clock we reached. And 7:15 when the aarti began and the Govindam prayer started, after that, of course, many of you might have the same experience. Nearly 1 year, that tune never went up out of my mind. It was continuously going on. Govindam Adi Purusham Tam Aham Bhajami. So that was the first contact with Yamuna Mataji, which I did not know that she had sung this. Later on, during Pune Yatra, she came to Mumbai first time and she gave such love to all the devotees. And then she was supposed to visit the hospital. And Maharaj had phoned up saying that the seniority of ISKCON is visiting Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Seniority personified. The topmost devotee. And when she came, every devotee was in the front. And she came out of the car, people offered obeisances, and she offered her obeisances very melodiously. She would sing this Vancha Kalpataruvaj, she would sing practically. And then she took a long breath, and actually she started crying and said, "What has your spiritual master done? What is this? All glories to all of you. All glories to Radhanath Swami." Such love and appreciation, which we simply hear. I mean, at least I had only heard it in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, when devotees, great exalted Vaishnavas, when they come, how they start crying when they meet devotees. So amazing experience was there. There are several occasions when we met her. And last time, the last visit she had at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we could see that she was so intimate with Krishna. That's why she could appreciate each and everything. She had so much appreciation for whatever she came in contact with. Of course, Dwarkadish Prabhu will tell you more details how she was so dependent on Krishna, so intimate with Krishna. But even in her sickness, she was very humorous. She was always so close to Krishna that she did not bother what is happening to her body. Once myself and him, we went, Dwarkadish Prabhu and myself, to the room. And that day, she had received some strong diuretics. And when we offered obeisances, she said, "Welcome to the flood zone." She was very humorous. And then, several times we had to go back and forth to various super consultants because whatever acute stage she was in, that she recovered. But the chronic problem with her body, that continued. So when we were going various places, the way she would deal with the drivers, whoever comes, was as if she knew them since long, long time. But that was actually just the first contact. And she started feeling uncomfortable that she was taking so much service from the hospital, from Maharaj, from other doctors. So she complained to Maharaj. She said, "Maharaj, why so much is being done?" And then Maharaj told her, "But you should accept it. It's not good that you should think that we are serving you. We are happy to serve you. It is our privilege. She said, but still, why? Because she didn't want to take that service. Of course, then the doctor in me came out and I started saying, Mataji, why you are so stubborn? Now, why don't you accept some service? You have already done so much service. So again, she closed her eyes and she said, I don't remember the exact word, but she said something like this. Said, yes, from your point of view, you are right. But from my point of view, I am right. So she didn't want to take service. And she was so appreciative about particularly Dwarkadish Prabhu. After the drama festival, I just went and met her. And next day, she was just talking about him. She had seen it on the internet, live. She said, he was so mean. He was so mean, Dr. Johnston. So just glorifying and glorifying. That's how she actually afterwards named him. He was no more Dwarkadish Das. So, amazing qualities she had. The appreciation, the love for the devotees, the ability to serve others. Even in this sickness, when she went back to America, she had a sort of a small festival which was so meticulously organized. She was so meticulous that when we would go, she would show the whole chart when she was taking which medicine, how many times she has passed urine, what she took, so details that even the most trained nurses cannot do it. It's amazing. Every possible detail was there on the chart. And same details, same meticulousness we could see in the last function when she called all the devotees. She was not meeting many devotees regularly, but all those who served her and even those who were in administration indirectly serving, she called all of them. And for everyone, there was some personal message, a personal gift, and a beautiful festival took place. So this is how we interacted with her, and it's not my qualification to talk about her. But it's my purification that I could speak something about her. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Madhavan Prabhu. After Anand Gopi Mataji, may I ask Radha Devi Dasi to be ready?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak a few broken words in appreciation of Yamuna Mataji. In the first few months of my spiritual life, I would be very much fascinated by the fact that so many Western-bodied men and women accepted wholeheartedly the principles of Bhagavad Gita. And I would keep wondering why and what makes them adhere to these principles so staunchly. And when I read the Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita, I found the answers. As I read the divine qualities of Srila Prabhupada, I understood that with such a compassionate personality, it is but natural that sincere souls get attracted to him and would want to dedicate their lives to his service. Between the years 2004 and 2007, we were living in Delhi, and it was during this time that we got an opportunity to serve Yamuna Mataji. First time I got to associate with her was in the year 2006. I had been in Bombay for a week's time, and during this time, Yamuna Mataji was to depart from Bombay to Delhi to be in Vrindavan for 1 week. Somehow by devotee's mercy, it was my good fortune that I happened to be chosen to accompany them in the train because they needed an assistant. It felt like being with one of the characters of Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. When I was introduced to Yamuna Mataji, her very first words amazed me. She told me, "Thank you so much for agreeing to tolerate us." I immediately felt as being accepted as their own. One of the striking qualities I saw in Yamuna Mataji was her uncanny ability to relate to anyone of any age group. There was one elderly gentleman in the train traveling in the same coach, and Mataji very nicely struck a conversation with him, and in such a nice way that he was so receptive to the small discussion of Krishna consciousness that soon followed. It was a thoroughly enlivening experience for all of us. And then when we reached Delhi and went to His Grace Kanhai Priya Prabhu's home, I saw how she very nicely engaged his two young daughters in various services. Another glorious quality I got to witness was her intense absorption in Krishna while chanting her rounds. To neophytes like me, it is merely a big struggle to even merely concentrate on the holy name. But for her, it was the most blissful part of the day. When she chanted, it was as though she was singing to Krishna. I realized how deep her connection with the Lord is, and so undeserving I am to be witnessing this special experience. During the next visit of Yamuna Mataji to our home in the year 2007, she mercifully agreed to do a small program at our home. About 100 devotees were expected that evening. During this time, I have witnessed another special quality of hers, that they never like to be treated as special. In our house, we had one washroom with an attached Western toilet and another separate Indian toilet in another room. Because Mataji was very sick, I wanted to ensure that the Western toilet is always available for her. So I thought I was being intelligent, but I ended up being a big fool. I wrote in big words on the door of the Western toilet, "Devotees kindly use the Indian toilet." But the biggest blunder I did was that I failed to communicate to Yamuna Mataji that this signboard was only meant for the guests coming for the program. Much later into the night, I discovered that Mataji had been using the Indian toilet throughout the day. This mistake of mine I will always regret my whole life. One of the most important lessons I learned from Yamuna Mataji was her attachment to the instructions of spiritual master. During her 3-day stay at our home, she kept telling many times that the faith in spiritual master should be based on the instructions of the spiritual master. To hear this from a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who has had so much of personal association, was indeed very enlightening. There is so much more to share, but I shall end here. I shall forever be grateful to the unlimited love and kindness that Mataji shared and showered upon us. And I hope to imbibe a fraction of her dedication to service to one spiritual master. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mataji. After Radha speaks, may I ask Brajeshwari Mataji to be ready?
Haribol, my obeisances to Yamuna Mataji, Guru Maharaj and all the assembled Vaishnavas. It's indeed one of my greatest fortunes to have come in contact with Her Grace Yamuna Mataji. And it was by Krishna's mercy that I could get a small little opportunity to serve her so closely. This was during South India Yatra. So it was another an arrangement of Krishna that I didn't go for it. So I got the opportunity to serve her for 2 to 3 weeks in every day at the hospital. And I used to feel so enlivened, thinking that, you know, how this is a chance, you know, how Prabhupada disciples must have personally served their spiritual master. And, you know, being a Mataji, I can't serve my spiritual master so closely. So I really felt this was, you know, very similar to that. So she really, really was such a wonderful person. You must have heard from many how she was so grateful to anyone who did even the tiniest bit of service for her. And anything she did was just so deep and completely Krishna conscious. Any single activity that she did. And she would always mention, you know, Maharaj also mentioned in his lectures that how if we are physically unable to do anything, we can do it mentally. And she would every time stress on that, because her health was not permitting her to do so many things. So she would always say that, and I cannot do it physically, but I will offer it mentally. And that's when I had learned the concept from her, because there were so many times that she, you know, she shared so many stories of her wonderful deities. She had explained when she and Dinatani Mataji had gone to meet Prabhupada. And you know, Prabhupada said that you all can start an ashram. And there were 5 sets of deities that were there. And he took out the 5th set from the trunk. And he's saying for the rest of your life you can worship their Radha Banabihari. And ever since that time they have been so wonderfully and lovingly worshipping these deities that were in Sharanagati, and later they shifted them to Florida with him. So she was feeling so much immense separation from her deities, not being able to be there since she was here. But she would every day, you know, just always offer offerings to them, mental offerings, you know, do the mental aarti. She was just completely absorbed in them, being here and they were being so far over there. And there was one day when I walked into the, of course we had a daily routine, every time I entered the hospital, and I would pay my obeisances to her, and then she would, you know, we would wait till Jagannathji came, then she would sing, she would make everyone sing who was over there, play different instruments. After that, then she would just discuss how was her day, whether it was good, it was not good. And then she would, you know, and then we just have general discussions on Krishna consciousness. And she would always ask, she's saying, ever since the time I met you, what is the change you feel has come about you in your spiritual life, in your heart, if you analyze? And she would ask this question to whoever she met. So there was one day when I walked in, and there was such a lovely surprise waiting there because she was on the computer, and she told me, she said, come quick. So I didn't know what had happened. And then when I entered, she said that, you know, today is Radha Banabihari's appearance day. It's their birthday. So she's saying, in the morning I already offered the Mangal Bhog offerings. So she said, now you and me are going to, we cannot be there to personally cook for them, but we can sit here and make 108 offerings, mentally prepare them over here and send them over to them via the email. So she actually had already, and she was so systematic and meticulous in everything that she did. So there was already a list. She's saying, let us start with that, you know, it wasn't just random. She's saying, let's have categories. There were sabjis. So there were so many different types of sabjis. There's so many different types of rice, rotis, dals, and all kinds of those Italian items. There were, you know, you name it and it was listed down there in different categories. And then she would, you know, she said, initially I was a little hesitant because she's such a deep and a wonderful person, and I didn't want to intrude in any of this. So she was so frank, she said, don't you want to offer anything to them? So I said, no, Mataji, I would love to, but... So she's saying, so come on, open your mouth and give me some offerings. So then, you know, we sat together and we managed to make 108 offerings for 2 hours. She sat and typed out all the offerings, and after that was done, she didn't drink water, she didn't do anything. And after that was done, she sent it off, and she said, now we have made our offering to Radha Banabihari, now I can take, you know, a small morsel of prasad. So her dedication to, and her love for the deities, and she every time stressed, she's saying, as much as you can, you should serve, but be in that consciousness that if you cannot do it physically, there is, nobody can stop you doing it mentally. She's saying, my body is not allowing me to cope with so many things right now. But that doesn't stop me. Prabhupada always said, the devotional service will always continue. It will never stop. And of course, her love for her Guru Maharaj, I mean, everything we spoke, she always brought about some instruction or some story of Prabhupada. Maybe, you know, sometimes some stories of Prabhupada at the airport, and some stories of Prabhupada, you know, sometimes correcting her, sometimes her stories related with other devotees. So she was just like a mother to all of us. So it was really wonderful spending time. And every time, every day, at least 5 minutes she would spend in glorifying Guru Maharaj. She always says, she's saying, do you know, your Guru Maharaj, the amount he has done for everybody, all you all have to do is just follow his instructions and love him, and rest everything will be taken care of. But you have to sincerely serve him and dedicate your lives to him, because that's what he has done to Prabhupada. And because another, and she was always grateful, because you heard that she never liked taking service from anybody. So every time she would, every day she would thank me. And I would keep telling her, I said, Mataji, please don't thank me, because never in my lifetime would I get a chance to do something like this, to serve you. So she, and she would, she genuinely meant every single thing she said. So she said, she thinks with some devotees, if you connect, you just feel that for lifetimes you have known the devotee. And I feel that everyone in this room, whoever is associated with her, seems to be, she seemed to be that kind of person that even if they met her once, their connection was so deep, because everything that she did was just so deep and loving that it was truly wonderful. So I'm honestly grateful that I got this opportunity and I could cherish it. I can cherish it for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Just wanted to add one thing. She mentioned about this 108 preparations. She sent a mail after this to Srinathji Prabhu, Maitri Premataji, Radha Priya and myself. And I'm just telling you how she would typically, because she was one of the best communicators of her heart that I've ever known in my life. So this letter she wrote, that dear seen all, been there devotees, means because of our age and because we've traveled, etc. Dear seen all and been there devotees, I will now tell you something which you have never seen done before. And then she went on to describe that this is Radha Banbihari's appearance day, and we are having a major challenge because Dinatarini Mataji is in Florida, I am in Bhaktivedan Hospital, and there was one other devotee who was somewhere who was saying we all three are still, Krishna is arranging that we can make these preparations in our mind. And then she listed down all these 108 preparations. So this was her, you know, loving way of expressing everything that she felt, and should put it down on paper. After after Brajeshwari Mataji, may I ask Dwarkadish Prabhu to be.
I am very much honored for this opportunity to glorify Her Grace Yamuna Mataji. It was like we had read in books about these personalities, Yamuna Mataji, Janki Mataji, and Mukund Maharaj, and all of them, that's special six people. But it was like dream come true when we first got the opportunity to serve her. The first time I ever got this opportunity to serve her was in 2001, when she came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital for treatment. She and Vishakha Priya Mataji, Vishakha Mataji, they came to our hospital, and they were the first ones to come and stay in the new devotee ward. We did everything for them just as a personal servant of a sannyasi would do. Myself, Shamarani Mataji, and Vishakha Priya Mataji, we got that opportunity to serve them. We were initially very apprehensive, but she put us to ease by her sweet nature. She would be so grateful, and that author of the award-winning cookbook would come up to us and innocently ask us about the recipes for the simple dishes that we would cook for them. She was the personification of love and affection. Anyone who came in contact with her was infected by her love. She was like a powerhouse. Her simple act of greeting somebody was done with so much of love that it seemed like she was pouring her heart out. Her every word was like a song. Whenever we would go to her room and offer obeisances to her and say Vanchakalpa, by the time she said Vanchakalpa, she would sing Vanchakalpa Darubhyascha. And by the time she said Vanchakalpa, we would finish our mantra and we would get up. But she would be still singing the whole mantra. And 3 years back, when she came to our hospital, Jayapataka Maharaj was admitted there, and she came with some Gurukulis, and she went to him and she asked him, "Can we serenade you, Maharaj?" She would always greet us with her big warm embrace, and it was like whenever we would stand in front of her, we would feel that Prabhupada's love transmitting to us. We felt very much secured in her embrace. As everybody said about her meticulous nature, I also have one incident. Like, she was extremely meticulous and paid attention to every minute detail. Last year, when she was here in the hospital, she stayed there for 3 months, and at the end, we wanted to give her a send-off party. But she changed the whole thing, and she gave us that send-off party. And she wanted to honor each and every person who had served her during her illness. She made us arrange the tables in such a way, in a round table, and she arranged all those chairs, and she had written each person's name on the chair, and she had prepared gifts for each and every person, personalized gifts and personalized message on that. The gift was wrapped in a brown paper bag and was tied with a satin ribbon and a message on that. Very simple but elegant looking gift. She had cut fruits and arranged it in a bowl very nicely and garnished them with spices. She never liked taking any service from anyone. Even though she was suffering in ill health, she was always blissful and smiling. She had tremendous love for Kirtan and Holy Name. She explained us how to go deeper into Holy Name. She said that everyone should chant one tune for a long time, almost like 1 hour, and then change into the next tune. And again chant that tune for another hour and then go to the next tune. That's how you go deeper in the Holy Name. The Holy Name itself reveals its beauty. That's how she made us, all of us, chant in that program which we had for her, that send-off party. She would always have tears during Kirtan. The end of the program, she embraced Rupa Manjari and she said, "Holy Name is our only wealth. This is all we have. We don't sing to perform or to become famous, but for Krishna's pleasure and for the devotees. So never stop this." We were very fortunate to have shared some part of our life with such divine personalities. By seeing such personalities, our faith in the process of Krishna consciousness deepens, that if we remain simple, loving and attached to the instructions of our spiritual master as she did. After cookbook released and she got lots of praise and award, she said, "Enough of it. Now I don't want all this recognition." So humble, pure, simple and renounced. I want to thank Maharaj for giving Bhaktivedanta Hospital, through which we get the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada's disciples who would have otherwise remained in Leelamrit. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yamuna Mataji, for accepting our services.
Just an example of Yamuna Mataji's sense of gratitude. Recently, about a week before she left this world, she had sent a mail to several devotees, Madhavanand Prabhu, Varkarish Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu, Bhaktivedanta staff. She named several, I think, Ram Charan Prabhu, etc., saying that today, I think it was 11th of December, she's saying, "Today is the first anniversary of my coming to Bhaktivedanta Hospital for treatment." And it, in her humble words, she said something to the effect that it was a life-transforming
such a senior devotee, just a week before she left this world, and she considered it her life-transforming experience. So, after Dwarkadish Prabhu, may I ask Karuna Manjari to be ready?
Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpaturupayascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. I feel a sense of deep gratitude and a great honor to have been in touch with one of Prabhupada's dearmost daughters, who showered her motherly love by her transcendental visit to her hospital 3 times. The last one when she arrived on 3rd of December 2010, being the most intense and the most intimate in her loving service. I'd like to share a few thoughts, especially from the last visit which we had, which I want to keep fresh in my heart as endearing moments of my good fortune of serving a very exalted Vaishnavi. We had learned that she is going to come to the hospital, but we were taken by much surprise. She arrived at 5 o'clock in the morning on 3rd December. It was cold. Somehow by some miscommunication, her flight arrived half an hour early. When she came out of the porch in the waiting lounge of the airport, she saw no person who was there to pick her up. That person was afterwards came half an hour later. She just stood at the porch, helpless, lonely, and utterly breathless. She could barely walk, literally not even one step. She came to the porch and began loudly singing the Govindam prayers. And Krishna sent a taxi driver to her, who spoke to her, "Bhaktivanta Hospital?" I don't know how he thought of that. But it must be Paramatma, definitely. And she said yes. And she jumped into the taxi and she came all alone. When we received her, she was just so happy to be there, but she was in such a critical state of health, almost like she would pass out anytime. When we examined her after putting her into her bed on the 3rd floor, I was astounded to find her BP was 190/130. Which is a killer blood pressure for anybody of that stature, that size. And I don't even know how long it was. Probably it was there for months, maybe years. She was all bloated up with so much of fluid. Her legs were swollen double size. Every breath, every sentence was an effort to speak. But she was communicating her history. We would call it in medical language as a bad history case, a bad history. She had not slept well for more than 10 years. Because she would not know what happens to her, but she would just choke up in the middle of the night and stop breathing. And Deentarani Mataji, who was her next door friend, partner, would notice that she just gasped for air in the middle of the night. And they didn't know what was happening to her. Sadly enough, when she went to the local clinic in Canada, to my surprise, there was so much apathy in treating her. They couldn't diagnose her, they couldn't treat her. They just gave her some some prescription which did not help her at all. And she just felt that's the way life should be, that I should just live like this. But at one point they decided that they should come to Bhaktivedanta Hospital somehow or the other. So there she was. It was a case of complications. There was heart failure, lung failure, and also much kidney failure. So all these things were intertwined together, making her case very complicated and difficult to analyze medically also. Yes, in the very first few days of being there, she had so much fluid in her body, she lost about 8 kilos, which is a lot of weight, through all the water she passed out. So much of water was sort of building up into her lungs that she could practically not breathe. There was much concern in treating her, obviously, because she was so important to Prabhupada's hospital. She was so important to ISKCON. She was so important for Maharaj's disciples that we wanted to do her very best. So we did do our very best, whatever we could. We take her to some of the best heart specialists in our city, the best kidney specialists in our city, and we want to offer her the best. We were not really sure whether we can really make her all right, but we did not want to, you know, sort of leave any stone unturned. And I was very conscious of Radhanath Maharaj's intense apprehension that she is getting the very best thing. And there was a lot of pressure on my mind and my heart. But in meeting with her, it was always so relaxing. Yet I was treating one of the most important persons in our movement. But when you enter into a room, I would enter the room around 7:30 in the evening after my day's work so that I could spend some more time. And I would bow down to her and offer my obeisances to her. And I felt a very sacred feeling in my heart that this is the floor on which Yamuna Devi walks while she's in the room. And I would feel blessed to touch that floor with my head, with my body. And she would always welcome me with a big smile. That was something which is very typical of her. She had this very precious smile which was very endearing. It wasn't a smile of the lips. It was a smile of her heart in seeing anybody and just throwing off her love at anybody who came in contact with her. It was a beautiful smile, a beautiful exchange. She would appreciate my attire. She would say, "You look very well dressed today." You're a meticulous dresser. She would just give some nice, sweet comments and ease me, and ease me into a conversation with her. And we would talk medical things. And we decided to make that chart, as you said. Mataji, I would like to know what happens to you the whole day, because I just come to visit for 20 minutes or half an hour, but I don't know what's happened the whole day. So keep a record, what you ate. So everything she was. Prabhupada's disciples, this is their quality. They are very meticulous people. And it makes things difficult for people like us who are not so meticulous, because you know, then we have to really fall into that sort of a system of managing things very carefully, because they demand a particular type of standard of care, which is exacting and very perfect, which is very nice for us. So she would keep a chart of all that. One day I asked her, there was a curtain in her room which oversees her room, the big window, and the white dhoti was there, and on this was written with her own hands in capital letters, determination, sacrifice, humility, tolerance. So Mataji, what is this? Said Dwarkadish, these are the qualities which I am trying to develop in my life for this particular year. So I write this on this curtain so that I always remind myself that I must live by these qualities which Prabhupada taught me. Beautiful. There are a lot of beautiful moments which we shared when we traveled together to see the doctors in the car. She was easy to converse with. She wasn't hold back. Easy to converse, very easy to converse. We didn't feel that we should be hesitant. She opened her heart and welcomed the conversation. Raju was her driver, would drive her back and forth. Just a stranger for her. But then in just few visits which they had back and forth in his private car, he became so much loving to her. And they would talk to Raju as if he was like his son. And he started appreciating Raju's skill, you know, driving skills. He said, "Did you have ever a passenger in your car who sings Maha Mantra, who sings prayers to Krishna?" And Raju said, "No." He said, "So now you listen." So then she would go for the whole morning program. From Mira Road till Hinduja Hospital, she would have the whole morning program, sing samsara prayers and Tulsi prayers and chant her rounds, and she would go the whole mental program as if she is in a temple room of some ISKCON temple. And Raja would love that. They had a very intimate relationship. She said what made with me with what Radha Mataji spoke about, what you spoke about, that in 1975, His Divine Grace taught her this beautiful science of Manasa Seva, Manasa Puja. Obviously, I was qualified to appreciate what that is. At my neophyte level, I would not be able to appreciate truly what it really means in its depth. But I could see that she had cultivated this beautiful nature of approaching Krishna through her consciousness beyond her physical disabilities. Her physical body was definitely in great distress, but then she had a two-track consciousness. The one track was certainly absorbed in taking care of her health, which was important at that point of time for her to relieve her difficulties so they can serve better. Another track was fully absorbed in Krishna and Prabhupada. And one, the health was never affecting her consciousness towards Prabhupada and Krishna. There was never affected. So she was actually transcendental. Even though the suffering was there, the discomfort was there, she would not sleep many times. She would have a snoring disorder because of her body. But then there was actually two-track consciousness always there, never affected by her physical ailment, which was beautiful to see, because otherwise anybody else in her state would be so morose, so incapacitated that you would probably not be able to do anything. But she had this power to transcend her suffering and yet do all that necessary for the body to keep make it going. This beautiful comment she told me, she wanted to come for the Dharma festival knowing that how much all the devotees loved it and how much Maharaj loved it, but her physical body would not allow that to happen that day. So she saw it on the video, and then she asked some devotee, said, "Who's acting you like the most?" So the devotee said, "Ladini Mataji's role." What is her name? Rasrani Mataji. She played that role. It was beautiful. It was definitely beautiful. Said, "She was nice, but the best was Prince Johnston." And she made me feel so good about this, and she would always then greet me as Prince Johnston. It is Johnston, but she said Johnston always. When I entered into a room henceforth, she said, "Welcome, Prince Johnston." It was just beautiful to hear from her that words. It was just beautiful to hear from her, and it was just so nice, just so endearing, so loving. Her motherly affection would sort of manifest through those words. Her nature, her very warm nature, how a devotee is. Sometimes as devotees we feel that, you know, we become a little hard-hearted. But as you grow in spiritual life, then you become so much more warm. And everyone felt so nice. Kishore was serving our boy, you know, from the spiritual care. She called him Super Boy. Just because he was available for doing whatever she needed. All the miscellaneous things which Nomad would do would be done by Kishore. And Shavan Pandit would do all the traveling, coordination, and Parishmati would do all the cooking and the clothes and everything else. And so it was just an experience for 3.5 months, honestly, not just for myself, but all of us were in the hospital to just come together like a family to serve Prabhupada's dear daughter. That experience of working like a team, like a family, to serve somebody who's so pure and somebody so high, so exalted, just working together, that feeling was beautiful, that was wonderful. That this is the actual joy of the hospital. It is a place which is very joyful because everyone comes together like a one unit to see that ultimately the goods are delivered. Somebody taking the medical part, the coordination part, the food part, the clothing part, the cleanliness part. All is practically about a team of 30-40 devotees working to serve her. That was very nice. And of course, the concluding moments which were there on the last day when she left from the hospital. And we were grateful that she gave us a chance to serve her. Definitely we were grateful. But she was infinitely more grateful than us to the hospital. We could never really conquer her gratitude. She conquered us by her gratitude, she felt, in her heart for all of us. And we were defeated by her love. She was so grateful to everybody. And whenever all the emails came thereafter, about 7-8 emails she sent to us, she would every email Every email is considered. Please thank everybody who was in the hospital who served. She would again and again and again repeatedly feel that genuine gratitude. She would call Vishakha as Director Reni G. She directed the play, so no, she was a Director Reni G. She was like that, she would say like that. Wonderful. And then we were sitting, all of us, in that long table. And we will not forget that moment. Our eyes were closed. Rupa Manjari Devi was singing. She set the tune. And all of us were sitting around and we would all sing one mantra, turn by turn. And then she would sing. And when she would sing, it was like flowers from the sky. Definitely was flowers from the sky. It was like spring season. Again, we went several circles around like this, and then she gave me a photograph. She gave me a nice packet with a brown paper with a nice ribbon on the top, and said, "This is for you, the Varkadish." And I was curious to know what is inside, because I knew it would be special. It would be the love of her heart, and it was a beautiful photograph of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is smiling in that photograph, and she had written behind the photograph, "Always your servants," she had signed behind. "Always your servants, Dinatarini and Yamuna Devi." I said, "Mataji, when I hold this photograph in my hand and I look at Prabhupada, I feel that I guess Prabhupada is happy with me." "Because I served you." She closed her eyes and said, "Yes, Prabhupada is happy with you. Hare Krishna."
Thank you, Dharkarish Prabhu. After Karuna Manji, may I ask Nityanand Prabhu to be ready?
Hari Bol. I'm not qualified at all to speak, but it's truly an honor to glorify Her Grace Yamuna Mataji, and I want to express my deepest love and gratitude for her. 2011 Jan was when we first met Yamuna Mataji. Since that day, she has had such a deep impact on all our lives. Her warm hugs, sweet words, kind heart, twinkling eyes, infectious laugh, aura of purity and deep bhakti just bowled us over from day one. She came and stayed at my parents' house, and she put a little note on my board. I had written some quotes for my board exam to inspire me to study. And seeing those, she gave the crest jewel of all those quotes, which I still have with me and cherish. She wrote, "Do what you love for Krishna, and love what you do for Krishna." When she came again for my marriage, she wrote a message for my Prabhu and me, which said, "Dear Anjali and Krishna Kanai, to you both, at the dawn of your Grihastha lives, words of Thakur Bhakti Vinod come to my mind. O Gopinath, you are my only resort. As your eternal servant, I take shelter at your lotus feet. O Gopinath, please reside in my heart and correct my mind and guide me to your own true path. We are always there for you and we love you." When Yamuna Mataji came again after my marriage and blessed us by giving us her association at our Marine Drive home, she said she wanted to cook for Radharani, and she also wanted to cook for my mother-in-law on her birthday. She wore a scarf on her head so that no hair falls in the prasad. She washed her hands and cleaned the platform. She wanted to cut and chop and mash everything herself. When I asked her a question while she was cooking, she very gently told me, "Prabhu, I'm sorry, but can we talk afterwards? We're preparing this bhoga, which the lordships will personally eat, so we cannot make a mistake with the salt or sugar. And we must concentrate." She was so engrossed in the cooking and was singing and humming all through. She cut all the capsicum and mashed the paneer and mixed the quinoa and made the most amazing quinoa patties for Radharani and offered them with so much love. This experience of cooking and watching her cook with so much love will always be with me. It was my mother-in-law's birthday that day, so this was her gift to her. She said, "These quinoa patties which Radharani has eaten." She also wanted to help me cut little hearts which we strung into a garland of love for my mother-in-law. And I said, "Mataji, let it be, we'll do it." She said, "No, I want to. I love her. I want to express my love for her." When I was massaging her body, she kept saying every 5-10 minutes, "Prabhu, please, your tiny hands will pain. Come, let me press them." Or she said, "Okay, let's take turns in massaging each other's body." I was feeling so guilty just hearing this, and I said, "Mataji, please let me serve you." And she said, "I'm feeling so guilty serving you." So I said, "Please, Mataji, I want to." So then she agreed, but every time she would sit next to me, she would gently take my hand and she would start pressing it. And I said, "Please, Mataji, please don't." And she said, "I just want to hold your hand." And she would keep massaging and keep massaging every time she held my hand. Just a few months ago, she wrote a letter to my sister asking if she could keep in touch and reconnect with me. "I wanted to keep in touch," she said, "but I know she's busy and a mother now. So would she like it? Can you ask her?" I was overjoyed and ecstatic, but truly humbled by that. I don't deserve any of this love and mercy, but just being connected to my parents and Gurudev, I got so much mercy. So we started emailing regularly a few months ago. When I sent her the first email, she said, "I'm over the top happy, over the moon happy to see you, to see this email from you. I know you're so busy, but thank you for taking a little time to send me this email. Who are we?" But she made us feel so special. She wanted to know all about my experience of motherhood, and if my husband was a doting father, and if he was happy to have a little girl, or did he want a boy. She was so frank and transparent in everything. I said, "Yes, of course, Mataji. He is overjoyed and adores his little Priya Sakhi." Hearing that, she said, with so much love and gratitude, "Please give my heartfelt hugs and dandavat pranams to your dearest Krishna Kanhai for loving this little Vaishnavi and accepting Krishna's gift so nicely." She said, "Thank you, dear parents, for giving this fortunate soul a chance to relish Krishna's mercy and love. Thank you for nurturing the seed of bhakti in her heart. You have given her the best gift ever. Happy Krishna days, little bundle of bhakti, Priya Sakhi." Her every word in the emails and letters were just overflowing and oozing with love and mercy. It showed in her purity. She would write loads of hugs and kavacha greetings, or hari hari bifale, or pranams and hugs big time, or praying for you and your loved ones, sweet Krishna dreams and glorious Krishna days, or jai jai to all good things in Krishna consciousness, or praying for all of Krishna's mercy and love to shower on you. When we would read her emails, it was like she was speaking to us, so personal and so full of love. She would address each member with so much love. For example, she would say, "Amazing Krishna Chandra Prabhu, saintly Radha Priya Mataji, dear Dr. Johnston for Dwarkadish Prabhu, Director Jeannie Vishaka Priya Mataji, Choti Radhanath and Choti Priya Sakhi, beloved Radha and Mukund, treasured Karuna Manjari, special soul Priya Vrat." This just showed her love. Every single time she mentioned anyone's name, she sent so much love with just that one name. She would sign off by saying, "We're always connected with love and appreciation on a transcendental platform, and distance does not diminish this feeling ever." Or praying and aspiring for exalted pure dependence of Draupadi consciousness and pure results. She called herself my Pishima, which means loving auntie and mother in Bengali. She always signed in the end saying, "Your loving Pishima forever," or "Your Yamuna Pishima forever." When she heard of my grandfather going to Chitrakoot, she was ecstatic and helped all of us to see Krishna's hand in all this. She kept sending us so much love and support through this painful time. When Dadaji left his body, she said, "He is glorious and his passing is even more glorious. We can feel it all the way here." He was a great soul and he will be missed dearly. All my gratitude to your grandfather for giving us a son like Krishna Chandra Prabhu with a list of devotional qualities too long to qualify. My dandavats and gratitude to this special soul, embracing you on all sides with love and support. Yours, Yamuna Pishima. Another time when I sent her a picture of Gokul Chandra's Radharani at our home, she was overjoyed and said, "I remember this sweet face, so charming, so petite, so beautiful." Then she sent me another picture of her Radharani and said, "Here's a little peek of another sweet face, another charming face, another sweet expression of Radharani in our mandir." She loved her deities, their lordship Sri Sri Radha Ban Bihari, with her life and soul. On Radhashtami, she said, "I am so grateful to be alive to relish another Radhashtami. Thank you, Krishna." She collected all the exotic flowers of Radhashtami for Radhashtami and stitched each and every petal on their dress and made a lovely dress of flower petals for their lordships. On the 14th of December was the 36th birthday of her lordships, and she offered them a hand-stitched dress which she was making for the last few months. Prabhupada once said in a class that one must have the courage of a true Englishman and the love and heart of a Bengali mother. She totally represented that line in every way. She spoke from her heart. Each word of wisdom was coated with love and purity. Her twinkling eyes would moisten every time there was kirtan or every time she was touched or grateful. She would give such warm and loving embraces that you would feel that nothing can go wrong with her around. Her love had the power to protect us from anything and anyone. Yamuna Mataji will live forever in our hearts and minds, in her cookbooks, in her Govindam prayers all over the world, in her love and faith for her Guru and her father Srila Prabhupada, in her letters and emails, and in her purity and sincerity. You will be loved and missed very much, dearest Prishima. You gave strength when I was weak. You gave me courage when I was meek. You gave me love when I was so lonely, and mercy when I was needy. What will I do without you, dear Pishima? No one can fill this void in our hearts, but we'll try and follow your instructions and try and serve my spiritual master and love him the way you did. Glories, all glories to my Yamuna Pishima, who has gone back to cook for Krishna and her dear father Srila Prabhupada, who are waiting eagerly for her." Thank you.
Thank you. And before Nityananda Prabhu speaks, may I ask the last speaker from the congregation, Gaurangi Mataji, to be ready. Also, is Ekavit Prabhu or Rajila Mataji here or just outside? Because we are not able to locate them in the temple premises. If anybody has seen them, because they wanted to be here. Are they here? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, the Brahmacharis were discussing about Yamuna Mataji today morning, some of the senior devotees. So I am just doing a service to recollect their memories. So first time Yamuna Mataji came to amidst us on Pune Yatra time. So at that time, spontaneously, two of us approached her and spoke to her asking blessings that we are allowed to stay in the ashram by the mercy of our spiritual master. So please, Mataji, give your blessings. So she spontaneously, as other devotees recollected, that she didn't say just "I bless you," but she just said that she started appreciating, "Oh Brahmachari ji, you are staying here," with his full smile. So it was, she made very ease. So this is a fond memory we have with her. And other devotees also recollected when she came to Radha Gopinath temple, she happened to see the saffron cloths and saffron dress hanging in the walls. So then she made a comment that, "I feel very much comfortable and relief to see this cloth hanging in the temple." So she had so much appreciation for the devotees. She is one of the Prabhupada disciples, female disciples who served Srila Prabhupada intimately. One pastime in Vrindavan, she was serving Srila Prabhupada and she would clean Prabhupada's house so meticulously. She had a systematic 3-step program for cleaning Srila Prabhupada's room. And Vrindavan as a place is full of dust and dry climate, and keeping Prabhupada's house dust free is an absolute challenge. So she had this 3-tier program. She would take a cloth and she would go from ceiling and to the walls to the floor one time like this. Then she would go again backward from floor to the wall, ceiling, again from ceiling, wall to the floor. So she had some kind of a very systematic program to clean meticulously Prabhupada's house. So then after cleaning nicely and tables, everything is neat. Not even one drop of dust one can find. So then she was so tired, working very hard. And Prabhupada walks in and Prabhupada sees the room and sees the table. And Prabhupada took his stapler machine, small stapler. And Prabhupada opened the stapler. And there is a pin inside the stapler, you see, that presses the papers. So inside the pin, Prabhupada did like this and showed his fingers in dust. So it is not wonder when we hear Dwaragadish Prabhu saying that she is so meticulous. So Prabhupada trained them so much, and if any of us would have been in her place, we would have been frustrated. But she was so surrendered, and Prabhupada could also deal with them very freely, loving. And another time, we fondly remember the devotees, we are remembering today morning that she came to Radha Gopinath temple and she was sitting. And 7:15 Darshanarati started. And all the devotees are waiting, and as usual, our Govindam Vadipurusham prayer is about to start. I think many of us remember this. At that time, it never happened before, it never happened after. At that day, at 7:15 dot, the power went off. Many times devotees keep, we want to hear Gopinath's pastimes, the deity's pastimes. But why we can't say this is actually one of the, of course they are performing pastime all the time, but this is one of the visible pastime that they indeed performed for glorifying Jamuna Mataji. So the power went off at 7:15 dot, and naturally all the devotees looked to her, and and she sang live this Govinda Madhipurusham prayers. And the most amazing part of that is that as soon as she finished the prayers, the power came. So this is one of the beautiful memories we have of Jamuna Mataji coming here. And I heard also a pastime that some of the male devotees complained to Srila Prabhupada that this Govinda Madhipurusham prayer is sung by a Mataji, a lady, so we should not be, all the devotees should not hear this, it should not be heard by the renunciates. So Prabhupada told them to play the song, and Prabhupada heard the song and he said, and Prabhupada commented, this is a transcendental symphony from the spiritual world. And Prabhupada ordered that time that this should be played during Darshanarati in all ISKCON temples forever. So Prabhupada, we are hearing Govinda Madhipurusham with Prabhupada's own desire. I was just thinking that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a prayer for Srila Haridas Thakur, he reasons ill who says Vaishnava dies. So, and we also hear that we should, in the absence of a great soul, we may not have the Vapu presence, but we should serve their vanis. So it is more apt in Jamuna Mataji's case that she is actually, even though she is absent, Vaishnava dies to live, living, spread the holy name around. So even though she is apparently no more, but she is actually present in our society forever at 7:15 or 7:45 in all ISKCON temples, that nobody can miss her voice. Even the deities, they also hear her voice. So she is there in her vani, and we can remember her in through her voice. Hare Krishna. Jamuna Mataji ki jai.
Vancha kalpatru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhayascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. When Her Grace Jamuna Mataji came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we got a desire to serve her. We were not knowing how to get the opportunity. Once His Grace Vishwarupa Prabhu asked all of us who would like to serve.
Sorry Mataji, there was one urgent message. There's one car which is blocking the water tanker from coming in, so I just needed to. MH02379 is obstructing the passage and it's urgent that please go and remove the car from there. MH02BY379. Sorry.
Once His Grace Vishwarupa Prabhu asked all of us who would like to serve Jamuna Mataji. Since then, both of us, I and Amal Prem Mataji, were put under the care of Her Grace Brajeshwari Mataji to serve Jamuna Mataji, who guided us at each and every step of our service. Mataji is very senior to us and we were very nervous how to serve, but Brajeshwari Mataji always gave right perspective how to simply do what she says. We started serving. She used to take oats in breakfast, but she started taking different types of items like quinoa, dosa, chila. She likes to take breakfast by 7 a.m. In the evening, she plans for the next day, making menu, writing down on paper and providing organic items. She didn't want to cause inconvenience to others. In spite of ill health, she would take food cooked the previous day. One day I told to Dwarkadesh Prabhu that please you do something. Mataji is taking the food cooked the previous day. Then he talked with Mataji. Still she continued. Then I told to Brajeshwari Mataji. Brajeshwari Mataji told to Jamuna Mataji. Mataji, please you don't eat it. We will eat this. Jamuna Mataji told, if you, then why not I? The very next day, she was eating previous day's quinoa and said, even Raghunath Das Goswami used to eat stale rice, then why not me? I became stunned witnessing her high level of devotional service. I never spoke anything in this regard again. In the beginning, she used to tell us to prepare one or two items, but after that, she started relishing that and giving more and more items. She would say, a good cook means who do not show their expertise, but simply follow the instructions. I'm very happy the way I am telling, the same way it comes to me. One day she told, can you help me in preparing lunch? I told, if you allow, then we can cook for you. In this way, we got the opportunity to wash her clothes, cleaning her room, something to cook for the night. Though she was very sick, we found her very enlightened. I have never seen her on bed. All the time she was very busy, sitting on laptop and managing all the works from there. Once in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada asked Jamuna Mataji, are you teaching others what I am teaching you? And one Mataji was standing there and said, no, she doesn't. Then Srila Prabhupada said, if you don't teach what I am teaching, you will become proud. And here, Yamuna Mataji was guiding me in each and every step. She bought electric cooker for reheating the items that she wanted to give me in gift. For that, she made flour bhaji to show how to use that cooker, how to cook, and how to offer. She prepared with white sauce and butter. Then she offered in such a way that I thought at that particular moment, Lord personally coming and tasting it. It had transcendental taste. Every ingredient was giving its fragrance. Really, we have never seen Srila Prabhupada, but interacting with Mataji, we felt as if Srila Prabhupada is there also with her. One day, we were in DT kitchen preparing lunch prasadam for Mataji. In the meantime, DT kitchen Mataji came for seva. So one of the Prabhujis came and told to finish the work fast. So we were trying to finish. At that particular moment, Mataji's call came asking, Prem Pooja, are you in trouble? I asked, pardon? She replied, is there everything all right? It happened 2-3 times. Very nicely she reads everyone's heart. Many a time, when I would enter in the room, Her Grace Dinatarini Mataji and Her Grace Yamuna Mataji would be talking among themselves in a such a manner which I won't understand anything. Seeing me confused, they would talk like that all the more. When I would be completely confused, they would address each other as Dina. Means Yamuna Mataji was telling Dina, and Yamuna Mataji was telling, and Dinatarini Mataji was telling Jam, and laughed at the peak of their voice. Yamuna Mataji had a small brinjal in her hand, which she had got from Govardhan farm. And she was very happy to have that small and cute brinjal. She was observed it very meticulously and then threw the small carry bag to Dinatarini Mataji and then said to me, whether you and your brother have similar relationship? Just the previous day, she had asked about different family members of our family and our relation. When she asked like that, I responded, no, his nature is different. When she was leaving hospital, she came to Srila Prabhupada in ground floor lobby. While praying, it appears that she is directly talking to Srila Prabhupada. Then she moved towards the main gate. There she blessed me by hugging and blew air into my ear. It was very painful for her to leave Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Which came in the form of her tears. At that particular evening and their morning when Mataji left for spiritual world, I was cutting vegetables and remembering her intensely and discussing about her, not knowing that she is about to leave. Suddenly, I got a call from Her Grace Kishori Mataji. She told about her departure. And again, I got a call from Her Grace Brajeshwari Mataji, who was saying that she was remembering Yamuna Mataji unknowingly. This happened with many other devotees as well. Brajeshwari Mataji said that she may be remembering us during her last journey. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Before we now go to the next stage and ask Ekavi Prabhu to speak, we'll have a 2-minute break where we would ask all the devotees to stand up and we'll have a 2-minute kirtan. Not a break, I'm sorry. 2 minutes we stand up and we have